Welcome to the School of the Holy Spirit. We shine the light of Jesus over you. We sprinkle His blood on you and wash you with the water of His Word. Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Holy Spirit, send forth your flames of fire, ministering spirits, your angels, to minister to all the listeners. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you may know the limitless love of the Father in Christ Jesus for you.
Welcome everyone. Today, it's a Friday prophetic day, and wanted to teach on a little bit on the prophetic. And what I thought about teaching was something that I think is either commonly misunderstood or things that we still have yet to step into. And what I was thinking about was teaching on discerning of spirits. And a lot of times I think we really think that discerning of spirits is just the basic part where we've taught before, where we're discerning to recognize or distinguish between, or to even judge, different spirits. And most of us really lean toward that, you know, negative spirits or evil spirits. But I believe that discerning of spirits is actually goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than just discerning of different spirits, positive or negative or good or bad. It actually goes into the details of knowing the knowledge. And sometimes I think what we're thinking of word of knowledge is actually discerning of spirits, but at the infancy of these gifts, we can misunderstand them. And so today I'm going to just touch up a little bit on the surface of these two. I'm still growing in both. I believe that we all are growing, but I believe that in the future, and the future is now, we need to increase our discernment and also increase our operation in the gift of discernment and also increase our knowledge of discernment. So, one of the scriptures that we see in the Bible, in the New Testament, is 1 Corinthians 12:10, and it says, "To another, the working of miracles; to another, prophecy; to another, discerning of spirits; to another, different kinds of tongues; to another, the interpretation of tongues." It's 1 Corinthians 12:10. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you think that discerning of spirits is just at the gift level, but as I taught before on different gifts, you know, when we're talking about a word of wisdom, the gift of a word of wisdom, or the prophetic gift, or any of those gifts, there are different levels. So when we talk about a word of wisdom, for example, that's at the gift level. So that would be probably at the second or the third dimension or level. Before a word of wisdom, before that, you probably have people that are operating in just wisdom. And that's the wisdom that James talked about, that he says, to anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, it will be given unto him liberally and without reproach. But that wisdom is not the same as the gift of wisdom or the gift of a word of wisdom. And then that same a word of wisdom is not the same as the spirit of wisdom that we see in the sevenfold spirit of God. So likewise, when I talk about the discerning of spirits, we get to see and understand that the discerning of spirits is part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's probably at the second level, probably in the equivalent to a word of wisdom. And there's another level that goes higher than that, and we're going to touch that on that a little bit. But I want you guys to see that there's always different levels of responsibility, different levels of operation, and so not everything is included in that gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are there to help us grow in loving other people and in operation of the spirit realm. And so it actually goes deeper. The rabbit holes goes deeper than that. So let's talk about just the gift first so that we can be able to differentiate some of the others. So it is plural. So that means it's different discerning of different kinds of spirit, right? It is part of the revelatory or the no gifts category, which we talk about that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are divided into three categories. And the best way to really think about it is that everything is really divided into threes, and even the fruit of the Spirit are divided into three. And they make nine fruit of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And each three could really be associated, if you really look deep into it, with the tripartite being. Mostly, some deal with the Spirit, others deal with the soul, and then the other deals with the body, right? So you can kind of see the correlation between them. And some of them are very fluid in the correlation in that, but you get the picture. So it is in comparison to a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. The discerning of spirit has limited range of operation in that it's limited to the class of objects, to spirits. So meaning that the discerning of spirits deals with spirits. So anything that is alive, that come from the Father's spirits, can be discerned, can be checked, can be seen, can be understood, can be looked at. Now the whole world is a spiritual world. And so discerning of spirits goes even deeper into that. So if you really want to understand what is happening in the spiritual world, you have to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and being able to discern in the spiritual realm. And so that requires the discerning of spirits as well. This gift is another level than intuition, which is what we possess in our spirit. So the basic human level, we all possess intuition. And you guys understand that a spirit, you are a spirit. It's not that you have a spirit. People say, oh, I felt that in my spirit. No, it's not that you felt it in your spirit. You felt it in you. Understand what I'm saying? You felt it in yourself. You are a spirit with a soul living in a body. And so the first place that you do feel anything is in your spirit. Maybe your mind may not understand it and process it, but that's where it is. As a matter of fact, everybody memorized the teaching of Watchman Nee about the soul that is made up of the mind, emotion, and the will. But we always forget what the spirit is made out of. Spirit is made out of these three components. Now, some may be different. Some teachers may use different words. But what we can agree on is spirit has communion. And that is the communication fellowship with God. That means inherently, because you come from the Father of Spirit, you will be able to commune with Him. The intuition, this is where you know certain things. You know that you know that you know that you know. And then your conscience. And in your conscience is your compass to everything that you do. So in your conscience is where you make decisions as well. So intuition is the inner witness or promptings. And so a lot of times we have the basic idea of how discerning spirits work because in our intuition level, this is natural. So if we are pure and holy, we may not have the gifts of discerning of spirits, but our intuition operates in the same way. And our intuition is the inner witness or promptings. Now, when you look at Romans 8:16, you'll notice something. It says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, lowercase, that we are children of God. So Romans 8 has this, depending on the translation, you'll see capital S for spirit, which is for the Holy Spirit, and lowercase s for our spirit. And so a lot of times what we're seeing people, you know, doing, we're thinking that it deals with words of knowledge, but it's a combination of worse words of knowledge and someone who is intricately familiarized and studied and practiced and knowledgeable about their own spirit, operating with the Holy Spirit and touching other people's spirit. And this is something that all of us can do at that intuition level. But yet it's a combination of skills that you need to be able to practice in order for you to operate in this kind of way. Is it biblical? Absolutely. Because as long as the source is the Holy Spirit, it is applicable to be correct and to be good. Because we see this in Samuel. I don't have the scripture with me, but as you guys remember the story, Samuel sees the young Saul looking for his donkey. And he says, tonight, I'm going to share with you what is in your heart. And so you have the ability to, by the approval of the person and the Holy Spirit, enter into the certain spirit or see in someone else's spirit, because the Spirit of God himself bear witness with our spirit. So if the Spirit of God is on you and the Spirit of God is on them, and we are in one spirit and we are also located in one place, or should I say bilocated, all in the body of Christ, that means that anyone inside of the body of Christ you can be able to access. You guys remember that movie with the X-Men where you have, he was like the doctor, the X-Men, the guy that's in charge of all the X-Men, and how he can put on the Cerebro, which increases ability on his gift, and he could be able to go inside of that Cerebro and see each and every mutant that was there. Now, that is an idea of actually what we can do today. We can actually, maybe perhaps some of us may be able to access in our dreams and our visions, or maybe while we're sleeping in deep sleep, the Lord may take us up in the body of Christ, and we'll be able to see what is happening in different locations of the world, but yet it's in the body of Christ, and see exactly what the Lord is doing. Now, sometimes this deals with pretty much with intentions. What does that mean? That means that if you are mature enough to ask the Holy Spirit to pray about a specific person or to have a specific things in your heart, and you say, well, I want to pray for this pastor, or I want to pray for this individual. Well, as you're sleeping, maybe the Lord will be able to take you and pray for that person. I found myself sometimes in dreams where I'm doing deliverance on people, famous people and people that we know and people that we interacted with. And next thing you know, they're talking about it. Or I've even had a dream of this, you know, famous minister. And then he says something in the dream, and that whatever he said, I caught it, I kept it. And then when I saw him in real life, I see him, he says this, or I listened to his tape after meeting him and then having the dream. So I had the dream first, met the person, and then had bought his CDs. I listened to CDs, and in the CD, I hear the exact same word that I heard in my dream maybe 7 days before. How do you explain that? You can't. But how is it that you have access to that? Because we are one spirit in the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says, do not join yourself with a harlot. And that's why you shouldn't be with those that are committing fornication, because your body becomes one with those people. And so that's why it's very important when you want to understand the spiritual realm, that this is very important to do this, right? So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit, lowercase, in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. And so you can already see that the understanding comes from the Lord himself. By virtue of you having a spirit, you have an understanding. That's why you can be around people and people say, well, I don't like the vibe on this person. Well, it's because your spirit, your intuition, your part of your intuition is knowing spiritual things. And the ability to discern those things is where the gifts comes in, and you can be able to discern and distinguish and judge between what is good and evil. And so discern means to discern, to recognize, to distinguish between, and is to judge. And so what we're doing is, the spirit discernment is actually to judge, is actually judging. And I know some of you don't like that word, and you keep hearing the world saying, unquoting or quoting, misquoting, saying that we're not supposed to judge people. It never says that. It actually says we need to judge, but the level and the measure that you judge is the same way you'll be judged. And also says that we'll be judging the angels, according to even what happened with Enoch. Enoch judged the angels. So whatever the angels are doing today, we'll be able to judge them in the future, because we inherit salvation and they are required to work for us. And by heeding the voice of the Lord. So if they're not doing things, let's say, for example, this is one quick example and I'll move on. You're praying and you're praying about something. You're repeating what the Lord has prayed. You're praying third heaven intercession, intercessory prayer. You're praying what the Father is saying. And they're supposed to listen to the words that the Lord has said. But let's say they don't do it and something happens, right? What happens? In the future, when judgment day comes, when we judge them, we'll say, well, what were you doing? You know, I lost my hand because you didn't hit to the voice, or you didn't do this, or whatever. And they're the ones that's going to be in trouble in that area. So anyway, so we're going to be judging angels as well. Back to the topic here. So this gift enables to peace through what appears outwardly to the inner reality. So number one, we discern the Godhead. What does the Godhead mean? That means we're discerning between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, for example, I remember one time I had an encounter where I was at the feet of Jesus. I know that was in the feet of the Holy Spirit. I know it was the feet of Jesus. I saw his bronze feet, and it was almost like he didn't allow me to look up, because I got the message of, you're not ready yet. You need to sanctify yourself. You need to be more holy, or you need to pass this thing first, or these things. And I see the bronze feet, and I asked myself the other day, what does that mean? And it was almost like, oh, you got to suffer more before you start to even look up and see. And I couldn't even look up. I felt as dead. And I saw his feet, and that's it. But I knew it was Jesus. Oh, well, for some people, I've had an encounter where the Holy Spirit shows up and he announced pretty much it's him. He says, you will thank me later. I couldn't see his face. I couldn't see all it was just, I can sense it was him. And he was talking to me about this deliverance that I was about to receive, and how the enemy, the mechanics of the enemy, and how he was attacking me in the middle of the night, and how I needed to combat and fight. But I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And so, as you could see, you can discern the Godhead. And even at the beginning of my journey with the Lord, I remember having an actual visitation, or should I say, me visiting the heavenly places in Ephesians 1. And I remember talking to the Father and knowing that I was talking to him. And then, like, so you know, it's like your spirit, the discerning spirits discern the Godhead. And you could tell the difference, right? Number two, you can discern angels. Number three, heavenly beings and creatures. So there are actually heavenly beings, and there actually are creatures, different creatures. Not everything is an angel, right? And the angel is just for the word malak, which is a messenger. But there are different heavenly beings, as you can see in the book of Revelation. Number four, saints. So sometimes we do see saints. Like, for example, I remember in one of my dreams, I saw in a dream, but it was one of my uncles who has gone to be with the Lord, and he was in the dream, and I knew that that was him, but it was already, you know, passed on, because God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so these are saints. And we can see that in the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to go into details about that. They call them the great cloud of witness. Number five, human spirits. This is where I want to really land, because number six, evil spirits. We deal with that a lot. I think we get stuck on evil spirits so much that's all we think, that the gift of discernment deals with evil spirits. If you're holy, you're going to be able to sense evil spirits automatically, because they're strange, they're alien. Like I said the other day, you know, it's like having a cockroach in your house. If your walls are painted white, you will see every single little critter in your house, and it's alien. If you have a bed that's clean, you will see, bugs and whatever it is on your bed. You could see it because your bed is clean. But if it's not, everything is just a bunch of dirt, and you won't be able to differentiate. So first, you want to clean yourself before you can be able to discern evil spirits. The number five, the human spirits, is where I want to stay, because in the human spirits, is where you are actually not only discerning that by voice or by presence, like if somebody's behind you, you don't know who it is, you should be able to discern who that spirit is. But just them being there, without even the gift of this Holy Spirit, just that intuition, you should be able to know. It's like seeing, like with your eyes, how you can see, how you can smell. It's the same way. And so that's why even the Lord says you have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. That means that you have eyes in the spiritual realm, but you don't use them. You have ears in the spiritual realm, but you don't use them. And the Lord wants us to be able to see with the spiritual eyes. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened in the knowledge of the Lord. So this is equally, and I think that in the Western world, we think this to be like juju. We think to be like, oh, this is just whatever. But we're being blind because our knowledge is puffing us up and we forget about who we really are and what we really are made out of, right? So the way that it operates through visions, operates through trances, operates through dreams, right? And as we could see, the way that, actually, let me go on, continue here. So operates through visions, trance, dreams, open visions, and then spiritual senses, eyes, ears, taste, smell, touch, and the more. And this is the way that the either the intuition or the gifts of discernment operates. And so you could see, even in the scripture, there are more locations where dreams and visions and trances are located, where the Lord is speaking to people that are not Christian, people that are believers, people that are not believer in God, kings having dreams, having visions, you know, seeing different things, and they can, and the Lord is speaking to them through that. So what I always say here is the foundational area to be able to develop the gift is by this phrase. Holiness is the key to get to the level of higher discernment. Holiness is the key to get to the level of higher discernment. So the first level is your human intuition. And then the second level is what is, because you're one with the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So because the Holy Spirit lives in you, if you can maintain that holy lifestyle, the consecration, then anything that comes around you, you'll be able to discern how these things operate, right? So let's take a look at some of the scriptures in the Bible and see. I'm using the New King James Version. So in the New King James Version, the first scripture where you see the word discerning or discern is Genesis 41:33. And in here, it says, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt." Then Genesis 41:39 says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you." Exodus 23:8, "And you shall take no bribe, for bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous." Let's look at 2 Samuel 14:17. "Your maidservant said, the word of my Lord the king will now be comforting. For as the angel of God, so is my Lord the king in discerning good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you." 2 Samuel 19:35. "I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my Lord the king?" 1 Kings 3:9. "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" 1 Kings 3:11. "Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Ezra 3:13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Job 4:16, it stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, Job 6:30, is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? Job 12:20, he deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. Proverbs 2:3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Proverbs 19:25, strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke the one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. Proverbs 28:7, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Ecclesiastic 8:5, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Ezekiel 44:23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. I believe this is Jonah 4:11. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock? Malachi 3:18. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Matthew 16:3. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Luke 12:56. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Romans 1:31. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Pretty sure some of you took some really nice scriptures out of there. These are the scripture that I found that has to deal with discerning, discern, or undiscerning. It's a regular expression, so that means it will find anything within that same context. And so I'm going to go to one of those, two or three of those scriptures. We see where we see this, the word knowledge and discernment together. We see the operation and the mechanics of the Word of God, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is a lamp to be able to allow you to discern. When you send it forth, it's actually, it says, the word that I speak to you, there are life and there are spirits. So if words are spirits, according to Jesus, and that they are life, if they are from the Lord, those words can be discerned with your intuition or with the gift of discernment. That means you can be able to dissect the words, to understand, to know if these words are truthful or not. Because the words themselves will testify on their own behalf. That's why it's called a testimony. When you testify, when you're testifying, the words that you speak will testify on their own behalf to be truth or not truth. And that is discerning. So here we know in the pinnacle of this whole discernment, Hebrews 5:14, it talks about how that it's by reason of use that you increase in discernment of good and evil. And so what does that mean? That means it's by practice. It's by using. You don't increase. There's no other way to increase in discerning or the gift of discerning or in the intuition if you're not practicing. Now, what are some practical ways that I can give you today as people of God, prophetic people or prophets or whatever you want to call yourself today? How do you practice discernment other than looking into people, you know, and you meet people? One of the best ways is actually is contemplative prayer. And also another way that we're going to touch up, not in detail today, would be in dreams and visions. So one way that I'm practicing and I'm learning, I'm very new at this. I've been, you know, doing a lot of, you know, this for the last 20 years. I've been soaking and spending time with the Lord. But as the more I do it in silence, the more I spend time in the Lord. Sometimes I just, you know, close the shades. I lay on the floor and I just the Holy Spirit to come and I meditate on the scriptures, or I just sit there and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me the things that are to come. And so sometimes I will just fall asleep, and sometimes I'll be in a state of asleep or half asleep. And sometimes I have music, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm just there and sometimes I fall asleep. But then I'm in a fasting and prayer mode, and I'm in a receptive mode. And when I lay there, and it's called the art of waiting on God. For those of you that are in the school of the priests or school of the prophets, you'll see that on the website. And there's a long teaching on that. So we're waiting. And in the waiting, what we're doing is we're spending a stillness. It says, the scripture says that wait and know, or be still and know that I am God. And so in the waiting and the stillness, we actually experience the presence of God. And he begins to show us in our imagination. See, one of the reasons why the priests of Hollywood are coming after us is because they want us to not use our imagination, but they want us to use their imagination, their images, their television, right? And so when you keep yourself from, I'm not saying don't watch anything, but, you know, in diet, but when you begin to start seeing what the Lord is showing you and you're asking him, you'll be able to see things that maybe people are not privy to seeing. He says that the Lord doesn't do anything unless he shows the prophet stuff. And he says that he gives secrets to those that fear him and to the prophets. So that means that anyone that fears the Lord will be able to access what every prophet is listening to and hearing. And you can be able to see. And so we have this powerful eyes that are in our spiritual realm that we do not use. And one way to learn and practice how to do this is just lay still before the Lord and engage with him. And so also is to be able to pay attention to your dreams. So while you're sleeping, just pay attention to your dreams. Write them down. Let the Lord know that these are important to you. You know, go back and forth into the dreams. When you wake up, you go to the bathroom, you come back. Try to use intentions of going back to the same dreams and asking the Lord for details, things like that. Now, I'm not going to go into some practical stuff in here because this is not the place. But what I'm going to do is I'm just giving you some of the major focus points on how to be able to increase in discerning. The other thing is when you're prophesying, most of us, when we're prophesying, we're actually discerning, thinking that we're doing words of knowledge, but it's not even words of knowledge. It's actually just touching up the gift of discerning or the discerning of spirits, because we're sensing a generality of someone. All we're seeing is just this shadowy figure in front of us. We close our eyes, but then we don't understand that when we begin to look at the desires of the person, and we begin to step into the person's spirit. But we have to be able to have permission. So that's why it's important that the people that are receiving the prophetic, that you ask them if you can be able to see in their spirit. But of course, you don't have to say it in that way. That's a little bit scary. But that's what prophecy means. That's what prophecy is at the insight level. For those of you that have known my definition of prophecy, prophecy does not only include foretell and foretell, it also including that part of discerning where you're looking deep inside of the person's spirit and you can read their mail. Now, there's not a lot of a big importance in prophecy in terms of knowing what is inside of the person. It just builds you a diagnosis of what the situation is, and it builds faith to the hearer, and then you can trampoline off of it and then step into the prophetic words that the Lord has given you or the word of wisdom that the Lord has given you to be able to release. But besides that, knowing somebody's social security number, knowing their address doesn't do anything but increases the faith of the room. That's pretty much it. But the key is not to stay there, but is to take it and go to the next level and say, okay, now I have the person's approval for me to step in and to read their mail, but then what else is there? And their faith and your faith can step into their destiny and find out exactly what the Lord wants to say about it. But sometimes I think because of the instant gratification of the people seeing that the accuracy of what you have seen, they remain there. And so let's try not to remain in a word of knowledge, in discerning and all that, but into stepping into a deeper place where we seek the Lord for the actual prophetic, what you're seeing in the future and what it is that the Lord wants you to speak to them. If you are in the office responsibility of the prophet, not the calling of a prophet, not the training of a prophet. I'm talking about if you already know, because when you're in the office of prophets, you will know. Not because somebody else is calling you a prophet that you are one, but that's because the Lord has revealed himself to you, as according to Numbers 12, and because you stepped into that office and there is a, as Danny says, there's a wake behind you. What is a wake? That means that when you're walking, there's people that's following behind you. Why? Because you stepped into that office, right? And that is a place of influence, right? And so when you're in that place, you can actually foretell certain things and your words don't fall to the ground. So when you're discerning, back to the topic, so when you're discerning, it's the ability to judge. It's the ability to have wisdom. It's the ability to intricately see the pieces and connect the dots and be able to see in the spiritual realm. And so it's very important that we get this. And I just only covered two levels. The intuition level and the gifts of the Holy Spirit level, because there are actually higher levels of discernment that we can go even higher. All right. And the highest levels there is actually deals with the sevenfold spirit of God. And it deals with the spirit of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. So this is where we would find that. So, let me see here. And I believe that when you enter into the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord is where you are actually able to judge, because the spirit of the fear of the Lord, we think it just brings fear in a sense. But according to Isaiah 11 and 3, says that his delight, talking about Jesus, is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Why? Because with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, he can judge righteously. With the spirit of the fear of the Lord, he can judge with the spiritual eyes. With the spirit of the fear of the Lord, he knows what is, he's mature enough to know what is good and what is bad. All right. So looking back at what we just shared, it's really important that we understand discernment, and discernment deals with a lot of different things that I think that where we're at now as the body of Christ, we still are thinking that it deals with the basic levels of maybe a word of knowledge or things like that. We kind of confuse those, but I do believe that it is not only part of the revelatory gifts, the discerning of spirits, and it's only, and we only look at it as discerning evil spirits, but that is like one portion of it. I'd reiterate it that I shared about six levels of discerning: the discerning of Godhead, discerning of angels, discerning of heavenly beings and creatures, discerning of saints, great cloud of witness, discerning human spirits, and we delved into the human spirits, and then discerning evil spirits. So that's why when we do the prophetic healing and discernment of spirits, that the deliverance teaching that we do, we don't teach people how to ask people what spirit is in you or talk to the spirits, which is actually illegal and it's not biblical, but we tell people how to discern the evil spirits by knowing the evil spirits and then being able to take them out and not talk to them. And so let's talk a little bit about the evil spirits here, since it's the last one. And the best way that I know how to discern evil spirits is by using your body as a thermometer itself, by using your mind as the litmus test itself. So what does that mean? That means as I'm doing deliverance on somebody, if I'm looking into their eyes and suddenly I'm feeling the sexual pull, well, that, what does that mean? That's not mine, it's theirs. So that's a demonic spirit that's there. So I command that spirit out. When I look at somebody and I have a flash of maybe a donut or something like that, well, guess what? That's not mine, that's them. It's a gluttony spirit or something. So you're using, but you have to be very, you have to really press in and push through. It's very subtle because these images, they come by so fast. And sometimes you have to check your body and your body will have a pool. So you have to discern that these spirits, they're alien to you. So for example, I'm sitting in at the dentist shop or whatever it is, and next to me, there's this man, young man, and suddenly I'm feeling this gay pull. I'm not gay. Everybody knows I'm not gay. I don't ever feel that stuff. But then the Lord said, no, that's not you. It's the spirit that is inside of him that's trying to pull on you. Okay, you got to follow this thing. I'm giving you things that takes some people years to understand this thing. That's why a lot of people that even operate in the gift of discernment, or in the basic level of intuition, which women are really good at that, they actually think they're crazy. They feel like, oh, my neighbor's talking about me, or this person is thinking this. And some of that may be true, and it may not be suspicion. It may just be because of your intuition and the way that you, the Lord is showing you different things. But you have to be able to judge what is good, what is evil, what is like things that, you know, you can discern, you can go deeper. But the problem is, as Christian folks, we stop and we don't ask the Holy Spirit questions. We have to ask him questions. We have to say, okay, all right, so this is what I'm feeling now. Is that mine or is that theirs? Is there an issue there or is it whatever? You just keep going and asking questions. If you're not asking questions, you're going to get stuck. We tend to want to be very presumptuous. We tend to want to jump the gun and not see what else is there. And then we tend to use these things in our prophetic declarations. Now, that's not the way it works. See, Holy Spirit will show you things, not just so that you can prophesy them, but it's a diagnostic tool so that you can use these things. Because I remember when I was younger in the Lord, and the Lord was calling me into the prophetic, and I was just in the calling stage. And I would go to different churches, and this spirit discernment was so strong that I could tell where there was a spirit of error. I could tell where this person is messing up, this person is messing up, this, and that. I could tell who's having sex in the church, who's doing this, who's doing that. And in the beginning, when you're developing this gift, you start to think that your job is to be the police that goes out there and to tell people what to do and to make sure that everybody's right. And that's why you see a lot of these young prophets maybe showing up on YouTube and telling, oh, this person is this person is doing this. That's not their job. That's not your job. The Lord is beginning to develop that spirit of discernment on you, but then you're taking it as, oh, But you know how easy it is for anybody that's holy, anybody that is clean, anybody that's living a righteous life to be able to see dirt in other people? See, the whole thing is that either the gift of discernment, intuition, or just you feeling these things doesn't give you the right to go out there and just start calling on people and telling people, oh, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. No, it's for you to develop the discerning of spirits, so that way you know what evil spirits are operating into people, and that way you can even deal with operations of healing, diverse kinds of healing. 75 to 80% of the healings that we do mostly is actually deliverance ministry, right? It's actually deliverance service. And so if you can't even differentiate between different evil spirits, and you don't even need to know names of the spirits, you just know how it feels, you know. Matter of fact, for me, when I'm about to do a deliverance on somebody and I feel a hindrance for me not knowing what the spirit is. So let me give you an example. So let's say I see the spirit, but I can't put my tongue on it. My tongue is on it, but I can't put my finger on it. That's the actual spirit that is hindering me at that moment. So it's like your memory is just lost just for a second. So what I do is I say, okay, so if my memory or my whatever area that is being trying to hinder, and that name is not coming, that's the exact spirit that I'm trying to get out. That's a spirit that is trying to fight against me. That's a spirit that is trying to hide itself. And that's a spirit that is trying to block me from seeing. And that's a spirit that I actually remove. Now, this is a technique. This is a personal experience. This is, don't make a theology out of things that are personal. This is something that I've learned through experience while doing deliverance. And when I begin to do that, I begin to realize when it's at the tip of my tongue, when it is exactly what I'm actually about to think and it flees, that's the spirit that actually I need to remove. But you have to be conscious enough and realize it's very faint and it's something that you have to pay attention to. What does that mean? That means, and I've always told, we're equated to houses, meaning that our homes, our house, are who we are, right? So if your house doesn't have white paint in the walls, you won't even be able to see a spider crawling up the wall. But if you have white paint, meaning that if you're clean and you're cleansed, as a matter of fact, the prophetic, I've noticed that when I did, I went to this one church, back when I was in Puerto Rico, this church, we did the deliverance, we trained everybody deliverance. And right after we finished the deliverance, we all went out to go eat. And it appeared as though after the deliverance happened, everybody's prophetic abilities increased because we didn't have any spirits hindering us from flowing in the spirit of prophecy or the spirit of discernment or this or any of the gifts. And then I also noticed we had this individual who we did a deliverance on, and automatically after the deliverance, their dreams opened up. It's like their eyes opened up, right? So that's why it says in Psalms 24 that who shall ascend in the hill of the Most High? That he have pure hearts and a clean hand. So the first place where you need to be, you want to increase in this, is you need to go through deliverance, and you need to ask God to find the strongholds and the blind spot in your heart so that you could be able to see. Because what is happening to you, the reason why you can't see is because either you're not fasting enough, you're not removing these hindrances, and you have a lot of blind spot. And when you're about to see, the enemy comes and steals it. And you're not meditating enough. You're not spending time in the presence of God. When you spend enough time in the presence of God, the spirit of prophecy is Jesus himself. So you spend enough time with Jesus, the spirit of prophecy will be all over you. You spend enough time reading, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you. The Word of God itself, it says that, is a discerner. It splits. So if you don't have enough Word, you won't be able to discern. You want to start discerning more? You want to be able to see in the Spirit more? Guess what? Read more of the Scripture. Begin to exercise the Scripture. Begin to speak the Scripture. Begin to release the words of the Scripture. That's why you could see whenever ministering people are ministering and they're preaching and they're teaching, they can actually see via echolocation of the words they're saying, the words come out and they touch people and they can know the intents and thoughts of the heart because the word doesn't come back unto them void. Imagine as you're preaching the word, it goes out, touches the heart. When it bounces off of them, it comes back to you and it reveals the reports of their hearts. If people are receiving the word you're teaching or people are not receiving, that's why it's so easy when you're teaching the word that it's just bouncing back and forth because that's the way. The words are spirit, they're life. And you can know the intents and thoughts of the heart because the word of God is sharper than any sword. It actually divides the tripartite being. And so these are exercises that you would do to learn how to exercise discernment. But overall, why are we on this topic? We're on this topic because whenever we're about to prophesy, most of us actually begin with the generality of discerning of spirits. So I'll give you an example. We've had individuals who showed up for prophetic, and as soon as I'm about to prophesy, it's like my eyes are closed. I'm like, wait a minute, how is it that I can't see over this person? Then I paused the whole meeting. I said, okay, stop, everyone. And I found out that this person was involved either in the occult practices. And then we make sure that, you know, this person, you know, either they're going to repent right there, because I'm not going to, I mean, I would love to prophesy to people that are in occult practices and all this other stuff so they can come to know the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I am being hindered because the spirit that is in them is trying to, because that's what it does. The occult actually covers. The spirit of the Lord Jesus reveals, but the occult, what it does is it covers the truth. And so if that spirit is around and is prevalent and you can sense it because it will cover the truth. And so you're trying to reveal the truth and the destiny of this person. Guess what? You got to stop that meeting and say, okay, stop right there. All right, you want to repent, remove the spirit of divination, remove the spirit, da 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 da, and then let's move on. We've done that before many a times. And you could feel it because it's like you're trying to step into the prophetic, but you're feeling like this hindrance. You're feeling this somebody's like put a veil upon your face, right? And this is the way that, this is why this is important for people that are practicing to operate in the prophetic. They need to understand how the spirit of discernment works. And so you're discerning the person's human spirit, but at the same time, before you discern it, you can see what is overshadowing them, what is covering them, and what is causing them not to be able to walk in the blessings that they should walk in, right? And so this is part of the ministry. So some people say, oh no, we're not doing deliverance, we're doing, no. But if that's getting in the way of the prophetic, then you need to make sure you get rid of those demonic spirits. That's why in the School of the Prophets, we teach on prophetic healing and deliverance. And then not only that the people go through the deliverance themselves, but they know how to do deliverance because as you're prophesying, you got to make sure and manage to remove these spirits, whether it's a temporary thing, because when I mean temporary means that you can remove them. But if those people want those spirits back, they'll just go back and sin and get worse things, right? We already understand that mechanics based upon Jesus's teaching. So you need to be able to enter in the discerning of spirit and understand and step into the discerning of that human spirit with your spirit and Holy Spirit. See, by the Holy Spirit, there is a connection that the Holy Spirit can connect you with the other person and you will be able to know. Now, these are some advanced stuff that I'm teaching in here and I should probably not be teaching in this group because this is part of the people in the School of the Prophets too. But I know some of you guys that are in here have already been attended. So, and those that will understand. But this is very important that we get this. And the only way to do this is if you begin to practice and you begin to do it. So in the discerning of spirits, it's a generality of entrance. And then you can step into a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Then you get details. Then you begin to see things. But in the beginning, what you are actually doing is you are actually discerning that person's spirit because you're going to discern and find out if this person is this kind of person, that kind of person. We could tell from the beginning already what kind of person is there. One easy way to discern is when you hear the voice of someone, right? Even the voice of a person is, because Jesus says the words that I speak to you, they're life and they're spirits. Well, when somebody's speaking, their spirit is being displayed. Their spirit is being released because the word of the Lord is the name of God, the word of Yod Heh Vav Heh. So God himself is the part of God that is the word of God. And so when we are speaking, who we are is our voice as well. And that's why even some of these social media applications that use voice are very powerful, because there also can be connections to people, and they can also be, different things that are happening when you're dealing with voice. So voice is very powerful, right? Especially for women. Women, they learn more and understand things by hearing, and men is by seeing, by sight. That's why men fall for things with sight, and they fall for beauty. And the women, they like to listen, they like to hear. And there is this mechanics that goes behind that as well, right? So it's really important that we understand these things. So
thank you for taking the time to listen to the full message from the School of the Holy Spirit. Find us on the Clubhouse audio app. For more information, visit us at schooloftheholyspirit.club. That's schooloftheholyspirit.club.